right. 3, 2, 1, action. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 23. Did I do it right this time? Is it 23?
You did. Holy shit.
Okay. Yay. Welcome back to another episode, episode 23 of EDDS. As always, I'm joined with my three friends. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. All right. So I hope you guys are ready for you're either going to suffocate or you're going to escape. Because last time, you guys went into a tomb. You found this tomb and you went into it and it had a bunch of, you know, stone sarcophagi and the party split up. Gris and Reed took a turn that led left, and Felvindar and Nesala went straight. Felvindar and Nesala found what they would think is the end of the tomb, and there was a statue there of a not a god, but a king. And as they kind of looked around, they kind of put it together that this might have been the burial site for the kings of Skingrad. Gris and Reed, they didn't really find anything too fancy. They just found some more sarcophagus in like a square room. And then all of a sudden, everybody heard a loud crashing sound from the direction that they came in from. Reed and Gris started running back to the entrance, and that is where we'll pick up.
An important thing to mention, which happened earlier last session, is that by accident, Felvindar crashed the stairway with a summoning of a frost astronaut. But to be honest, I did not expect the stairway to have a free space beneath it. I thought it was all massive and solid rock. So
yes, so
we'll see how that goes.
The cave entrance, it looked, just for the listener's sake, the cave entrance looked like an actual cave. It did have a pair of stairs that led down, and that followed for a while. That looked like you were in a cave, but then they did come to a stairway that was man-made. And it was probably only one person wide. he summoned a frost astronaut and it collapsed the bridge. So that is what we're starting off with. And I think we'll just start up off with Reed, because you are rounding the corner right now. And do you continue into the room with the stairs?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you get in there and you see that the stairway has completely crumbled. And
I'm going to kill that fucking
you,
elf.
You look up where the stairways begin, also caved in.
Oh. How bad is it?
I'll leave it there.
Really bad. Like, no way out. From this side, at least.
Fuck.
I'm gonna kill that elf. Now, where the fuck is he?
Good point. So, Gris obviously walks in. Gris walks into the room.
Mm-hmm.
I make a perception check to see if I can see any light coming through.
Yeah. Go for it.
Because obviously it's really dark in here.
Yes.
Other than the torch I'm holding.
Yeah, I just kind of assumed you guys still had your torches or lights going.
I want to see if I can see any light coming down the corridor. So, perception.
You see, so from the radical, the fall of everything, right? It kind of shook things around and the cave in, and you do see a small bit of light, but it's coming from what you would presume the ceiling to be of the room. It would be over off into the corner, like when you walk down the stairs. Let's say you were walking down the stairs, it'd be off to your left, And that was more for the listeners because I can just show you guys on the map. But you do see a little light in this corner. Very, very, like I would say like a radius or like the diameter of a pin by the time it hits the ground. But you can see a little bit of light. But just it is like, high up in the
ceiling. It would
be
like a laser pen coming through a wall, right?
Yes. Like yeah. A beam of light. Yeah. Yep. You also with a 16, I'll say you could think it's probably about a 50-foot climb up to that part where the light's coming in.
Okay. Well, shit. Chris is just gonna stand here and think. So I'm guessing Reed's gonna run down and tell.
Yeah, I'm going to find Felvindar.
Well, excuse me. Felvindar, what are you guys doing? We'll just kind of hop over to you and Nesala.
Yeah, I think we by now would have returned to the rest of the party.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was assuming too. So we'll say you guys are running back and you kind of meet at the corner where Reed would be. He'd be running towards you guys, so... what was that sound, Reed? Is it what I think it is?
Yeah. We're not getting out the way we came in. Felvindar, I'm going to kill you so hard if we don't get out of this.
Let me have a look at this.
So Felvindar and Nesala and Reed return back into the room to see the carnage. And like I described before...
So the entrance is like full of rocks and we cannot get out that way.
Yes, it's caved in and the whole staircase, the only stairs that are left are on what would be on the ground floor, like the last three sets of stairs are the only stairs remaining.
And there's a light here.
There's like a light, a very small light, like right here in the left-hand corner of the room.
So pretty much that's all rubble there in front of us, right?
Yes.
And it comes from the ceiling, right?
Yes.
How is the wall here? Do you think Reed could climb up?
Also could climb up.
So the walls, for as far as you can see, unless you want to try to use a spell to see farther up, because you can't necessarily see where the ceiling is due to the darkness, but the walls that you can see as high as you can see seem to be very smooth, like brick laid walls.
Okay. Reed, didn't you have climbers equipment?
Yes.
I'm thinking maybe we could make a hole in the ceiling and you climb up there and you get back into the cave from the entrance, you know?
Just saying, you're supposed to be the smart one here. Making a hole in a ceiling of a cave normally also risk the cave by crashing in.
I know that, but we need some... Unless you have seen some other way out of here, I'm not sure if we have many options here.
Give me 10 minutes.
Okay. I have an idea.
Let's hear it.
So, Reed, can you tie your rope to an arrow and fire it through the hole?
Yes.
And then climb up that rope?
No.
And try and get out?
If you climb that rope up and the ceiling... it gets loose, you fall down, and the ceiling crushes on you.
I will catch him. I will stand below him, and I will catch him. I promise.
Chris, no. No. Mm. If I'm climbing up there, I'm not risking my life on a goddamn arrow.
That's why I thought maybe I can shoot a hole in it, and we let the parts fall down a bit.
Not much, just so that he can get
out.
Overthinking this completely. So, your telekinesis, can you pick up Reed using your telekinesis?
I am not trusting him with the magic on me.
Can I?
I am way too heavy. You can't do all me.
What not... is your...
Because we leveled up, right?
What's your strength?
My strength is 8, since I'm a wizard, basically. Yeah.
But how long have you known telekinesis since?
Well, I got that from the first time I visited the Mage's Guild in
level
in
3. So he's gone up 3 levels. Level one.
Right. I'm level in 4 level now. One. So yeah, a few sessions. You're
level 5 now, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yes, time. You're right.
You're glad that I rolled high. Yes, you think you. At this point, you think you could maybe not lift Gris for too long? Like, you might be able to lift him, like, a ways. Let's say if the cave wasn't caved in, so you could lift him up to the top of the stairs, which would be, like, 15 feet. But you wouldn't be able to hold him for too long. But Reed, being an Argonian and probably not too heavy of a person, you definitely think you could, if you concentrated enough... you definitely could lift him up to what you would think is the ceiling of this, or where the light is at least. And you could hold him and even bring him back down. Maybe not hold him up there for hours, but hold him up there enough for him to like get a look at things and then bring him back down. Yeah, you definitely think you could do that with no problem.
All right. So should we do it like that, Reed?
No. Give me 10 minutes. 10 minutes and I'll climb up there by myself.
If he thinks he can climb up there, we might as well let him.
Sure. Give me 10 minutes.
Yes, take it.
I'm going to check something.
If he does fall.
I'm not going to catch him.
Yeah, don't catch him.
I am I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray tomorrow. And you see Nasala like walk over and just like sit down on her knees like traditional Japanese style at the at the dinner table, and she's like puts her hands together and tilts her head down a little bit, and she starts to, she's just quiet, but she's praying tomorrow for guidance.
None of you has by any chance noticed any other doors or pathways passages in this cave here?
That is why I told you to give me 10 minutes.
I'm asking the group, take your minutes.
I am literally going looking right now.
Chris, did you notice any further doors or passages, any other way out here maybe? Or is it really just the ceiling apparently?
I'm sorry. The way you said Chris.
Yeah, the way you said Chris. That's
perfect.
It'll take a couple of minutes for that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
I did not see anything, but I wasn't exactly looking for another way out.
Maybe while Reed gets prepared, we should more closely search the rest of this crypt here.
Yeah, so can we take a sidebar for like 10 minutes and all of us go search for another
way out? Yeah, you definitely can.
Something like that.
Do you want us all to roll perception?
Yeah, so how that will work is you and Felvindar will roll perception together, and I'll add those two, and that will be for the whole the whole tomb. So you don't have to keep rolling it.
That's a 22.
22?
Just say, I love how all of you think I'm preparing. I'm taking 10 minutes to prepare to climb. 34.
Well, apparently you need 10 minutes for that.
Yeah, I said, give me 10 minutes, and I will look... far way out. I'm literally going into the tomb again and casting clairvoyance to see if I can find a way out.
Well, I mean, you all can do that if you want.
You're going to cast clairvoyance for a way out?
Yes.
Why didn't you not just tell us that? Oh my god, you fuck.
Because I don't want you guys to know that I have clairvoyance because you've never seen me use it.
That's true, you haven't. Because it only appears to him.
Yes.
So.
All right.
So, did we now have to roll perception?
I'm gonna say you guys are still gonna go do that. Like, if you want to, or you can just sit here. Like, it's totally up to you guys what you want to do. All three of you can look. It doesn't matter. But
I don't just want to sit here. I'll also take a look at it.
So, we'll start with Reed first, just because he's in front of you guys. So, what are you doing?
I'm casting clairvoyance when I get to the, like, up to the T junction. Again, to see if there's anything else interesting in this tomb.
You see a, instead of the trail, the purplish pinkish trail that always appears, it leads you straight instead of turning left this time.
Okay, I will follow it then.
And I'm just keeping the whole map revealed because I'm going to guess you guys are going to constantly keep your torches and lights going. Okay. Yes. I'm not even going to bother with that then. So it leads you, if you would like to continue upwards in the trail, we will hop back to Reed and Chris. What are you guys doing? You guys are walking down where like Reed went to?
I'm wondering.
Or do you want to search this room first?
I might want to search this room. There's something that's not revealed here between the sarcophagus. Is that what's there?
So you guys are searching around, and one of you gets to this sarcophagus right here. Let's just say Gris. And it's cracked open a bit. You push it open out of curiosity, and you see a little notebook in there. You want to take it? Yeah, like it's like it'd be like what you would presume to be like a little journal. It's like a brown covered with a little flap to close it with like a button on it so it can stay shut. And it's probably a little bit bigger than your palm, so it's not too big.
Yeah, Chris will take it and open it up.
All right. So you open it up very, very dusty and you kind of blow away the dust and you see it's a journal of a knight. The knight's name is Marcus. That's really all you can tell out, like just because the ink is starting to fade. And it's pretty much just all about like his glorious life as a knight. He was a very renowned knight. He was a part of the King's Guard, in the second era of Skingrad. It was that king that he was the guard to, and talked about all these glorious battles that he triumphed over and all these just knight stuff. But you get like towards the end and you can tell that this is when he's old and he like knows he's getting ready to die and he knows he's going to be buried here. And he talks about a river. And the way he talks about the river is that you'd get the sense that there might be a river somewhere around this tomb, right? But you didn't see one when you came in or anything like that. But he talks as it like it's almost like a spiritual river that would take him to the afterlife. It's not, maybe you don't know if it's like an actual river or it's something that you have to be like buried here as a knight after you're dead. He talked about riding on a boat to the afterlife. And yeah, that's it.
I'm just gonna say to himself, this man seemed like a decent guy, but went a bit senile near the end, but okay. Puts the book in his back pocket to study on a later time. But doesn't really put two and two together about the whole boat situation.
Okay. Then we'll go to Felvindar real fast, and then we'll go back to Reed. Felvindar, you walk into this room.
Yes.
With your guises combined, you do hear like a dripping sound, but you're not sure where it's coming from, like water dripping onto the ground that you would hear in a cave. You kind of walk around and you're checking the sarcophagus again, and you get over here in like the back far corner of the room and you hear the faintest thing. You almost think like, did I actually hear that? But it sounds like running water, like a river.
Okay.
So but what's in it's so faint.
So what's in this circle of sarcophagus?
This
here?
Is just part of the cave. Here, I'll just reveal it. Yeah, that's just part
of the cave. Okay, so there's nothing, maybe like a statue with a trapdoor beneath or something like that.
No, but you get to this sarcophagus, I should say, not sarcophagi. And you're looking around it, and you just feel like it's a little off from all the other ones. Like, it's nothing visually, but you feel it.
Can I put for? I would like to pull forth my staff of knowledge again and rub the knowledge runes on it.
All right. As you do that, your staff glows the green that it does, and you are like pulled into like almost not a trance, but like you are somebody else. You're looking through the eyes of somebody else's eyes, and you're in this tomb, but it's lit with torches along the wall. And you see in front of you somebody carrying, you see people, right in front of you is a sarcophagus. You're carrying it, you're on the back part of it. In front of you is another man. You're wearing full plate armor, and so is the man in front of you, and you are being escorted by guards. And in the very front there, you can see priests, and like one's carrying like a golden staff with some red ribbons hanging off the top of it, and like towards the top it comes to a circle, and you turn the corner, and then it kind of flashes, and you're setting the sarcophagus you're standing in front of, you're setting it down. But as you're setting it down, you see that the floor is not the same like the rest of the cave. It's lighter in color. The other stones are much more dark. They almost don't even look like stones at all.
And then the vision ends
right there. As soon as you set the sarcophagus down, it just, everything goes back, and now you're back looking through your own eyes.
Okay, nice. So vision of the past. Okay. I assume it's this floor here that I saw that looks different from the rest of the cobblestone?
No, so it's the floor that's directly beneath that.
I see.
That sarcophagus.
Yeah, and I would actually like to speak to Gris over our rings to get him to help me with that, because I don't think I can move that only with my telekinesis, right?
No, you might not even be able to do that yet. So as you're doing that, we'll go back to Reed. Reed, you're following the trail. It leads up and bends to the left.
I keep following it until it leads me to the end of it.
Yeah, it leads you all the way to the room. And at the end, which you haven't seen yet, but you are greeted with a statue of a king, two chests, and like a little open box that would be like an offering box that sits in front of the statue, and then three other sarcophagi.
And there's nothing in the chests anymore, right?
No, there isn't. You can see that they're still open and that they're empty.
Motherfuckers.
What was in there again last session?
Gold.
How much?
I think it was, I forget, like 1,000, like 2,000, or 2,000.
Yeah, it was 1,000 in each.
It was 2,000, yeah.
Wow.
Did anybody add that? Did Naysala have it, or did Philbindar have it?
I feel like you would have added it because you were like there.
Okay, then I do that now because I didn't do it last time.
Oh.
Well, but
God damn it.
Both of you took a chest each.
Yeah. So I guess just take 1,000 and I'll mark 1,000 for.
All right, fine with me.
Naysala doesn't fucking need the gold. It's your guys's. So write 2,000 down.
All right.
She's a fucking princess. She doesn't need gold.
she's wealthy enough.
Yeah, she doesn't need gold. It's not her concern in life. And the Elvis princess at that, so.
Yeah.
All right. Reed, you're in this room with the statue, two open chests, and three sarcophagus.
Yes.
What do you?
Where did the stuff lead, or the end lead me to?
It just led you to this room. And then it doesn't like point in any really direction. It just kind of led you to the room and then disappeared.
I check all the sarcophagus.
Yeah, so the first one just has the bones of a king in it. Second one has the bones of the king of it. And the third one also has that, but has a little like handbook in it, kind of similar. Well, you wouldn't know this, but it's similar to the one that I described for Gris. It's like a little brown journal with a strap on the front of it that like holds it together with a button.
Okay. I take it. Okay. And I go look at the statue.
Okay. The statue is the king of the third era. And it just has like at the bottom, there's like a little plate that has his name and like the time that he ruled and like a brief description of him. And that's really it.
There's nothing like secret with it, like hidden.
So you start like, because you could probably squeeze behind it. It's a fairly large statue, probably stands about 8 foot tall. And the base is probably, 6 feet wide in like a square, right? So you like kind of start reaching around and you get to the back and you see like a part of the base on the back side. Like it would be adjacent from like the little name tag on the front, the nameplate. So it's like right in the middle on the back side and it's cut out of like a square. Like you can see that like maybe you could push it in.
I pushed a button.
You push a button and you just hear a click. But Felvindar and Gris, as Gris comes walking around the corner, Felvindar, the sarcophagus starts to move towards you.
Mm.
Like in a sweeping motion. So like the back left corner is like pivoted, like it's not moving. And then the top, like everything in the front just kind of rotates out and reveals just the floor, but you definitely can see like the floor in your vision. You can tell it's still really dirty, but you can tell that the part of the floor that's under this sarcophagus is different.
So is it like dirt, or is it a trapdoor, or how is it different?
It does, if you would have to put two to two together, it'd look like a trapdoor.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
there's no way of opening it though. Like there's no like pull handle. It like you can't open it from like there's nowhere to grab it.
Not even with my telekinesis if I focus on the door.
Maybe.
I think I don't need a handle for that, do I?
No, I wouldn't say you would.
All right, then I would like to try that.
You have that spell, son of a bitch. it's not locked or anything. It comes right open, and it reveals stairs that lead down. Now, before I tell you guys this, I don't have any maps for this because I came up with this today. So I'll have to be describing everything from here on out.
Well, I keep focusing on Jagger in your video. I'm sorry. He's behind you looking out the window.
Oh, look at this, Gris. It's another way.
Doesn't he look so majestic?
Yes.
Look at this.
What did you do?
I did not do anything. It just opened all of a sudden.
Did I do it just by walking around the corner?
I'm not sure if the sarcophagus has that much respect of you to move on its own.
Can I press the button again?
Or if you
you can.
With the trapdoor open.
You hear a click, but you don't tell anything can happen, and nothing happens with the sarcophagus.
Yeah, I just thought he breaks the door now and shuts it down again. unless you did not step on some pressure plate or something. I don't know what opened it.
I don't know. I'll go grab
Nesala. I have a watch on this so it stays open.
Okay, over the rings of telepathy, I would like to shout for Reed and Nesala to come to the middle room, I guess.
Okay. Nesala obviously gets up from her prayer and comes over and she's like, "Ooh, what'd you guys find? A way out?"
Maybe not. We don't know where it leads, but it's better than staying here, I guess. It leads further down.
I found a book in the first room written by some dude. Marcus something. Can't really make it out. And I tossed the book over to Filvendar. In the back of the
book... I'll have a read through it.
In the back of the book, it mentions about some of way out. Not like a way out, but like water running. Like a sewer.
What water? I heard faintly I heard some water. Maybe it's just this river that's described here. It's very silent, though, but there's got to be some water around here somewhere.
I mean, it's possible.
Check this out. Reed?
I have a good feeling about this, guys, but yeah, okay, let's go. Where's Reed?
I would speak to Reed to the ring if he has it on this time.
I don't. That's why I didn't listen to Chris.
Why did we even bother to take the rings if you never wear them?
Because the way you described it to Reed meant that you could hear his thoughts every fucking time.
Okay, he'll follow us. Let's just go.
Yeah, I don't run after him whenever he's not wearing the fucking ring. Let's go.
That guy's an idiot.
This sounds like, well, I'll go find him. She like leans down, comes to the edge, like where this room is, and just yells for Reed. Where are you?
What?
Come this way. We found a door.
Is that you, Nisala?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, this way.
There.
Yeah, okay. This way. All right. So, you guys. All right. So, what you see. Obviously, it's black. So, I'm guessing everybody still has their torches and lights going.
Yes.
Okay. So, this is cave wall. This is not nice carved out, but the stairs are very nice, like marble. Carved out. You guys are walking for a while. You lose track of time. You don't know how long you've been walking downstairs. It feels like forever, but it also at the same time feels like you just started. You're just, it's totally weird. And you just keep walking. And then it starts to go into a spiral. You were walking down straight. And then after who knows how long, it starts to spiral down. And then again, you are on a spiral. You forget how long you've been walking in a circle. And it feels like you've been doing that for an hour, but it also feels like you just started. But eventually you walk down and it opens up into a cave like area. It's a big open area, something that's like, if you had to describe it to someone, they wouldn't believe you how big this place is. And it's glowing a slight green,
so like Black Reach a bit.
Yeah Think of Black Reach. Just huge. You can't see the ceiling, but like, it's weird. The walls have like a glow to it. All the mushrooms and fungus and rock kind of have this greenish, purplish, bluish glow. And in front of you is a beautiful, I mean, beautiful glowing blue river. And as you all are come down and exit out of the cave, and Nesala walks down and enters like onto the ground level, she's like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna, and hits the ground and passes out, faints.
Well,
great
job, Chris.
Yeah, well, what was I walking on? Because I would have said Chris would have probably tried to catch it if that was the case.
I don't know. I just see it as this, like, this place is so, like, beyond what you guys have ever seen. You're in awe right now. And what kind of snaps you out is Naysala, and then you kind of all look back, and she's like already in mid-fall and just hits the ground. Solid. Rock. Not moving.
Gris will run over to Naysala. Try and wake her up.
That's not good.
No response. She's unresponsive.
Well,
is she still breathing?
Yeah, can I
check? Why doesn't somebody do a medicine check?
Yeah, I'm there for a medicine check.
You guys figure this out. Ooh.
Oh, fuck.
What dead. The fuck?
I mean,
wow.
She's dead. That's a natural like... one.
Okay, well, you both kind of suck, but you like put your finger under her nose and she is breathing steadily. She seems
does she have a heartbeat? I lay my hand on her chest.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to slip it under her armor because obviously she's wearing armor. Well, but you do that. and you do feel that.
He's stopping himself. He's like, that's too far.
Yeah,
he does it. He does it.
You feel nice squishy breasts. No. you do feel her heartbeat. It's steady. It's not like nice. Irregular. It just seems like she has fainted, but she's not waking up.
We need to find a way out of here.
Well,
why don't you give me an arcana check?
Oh, yes.
Selvindar.
14.
She's under some sort of something magical has done this. You can tell that it's not harming her in any way, even with just like the six medicine, but this is more for, because you've seen this before.
Are there like,
you don't I've know seen exactly. Yeah. Like you've read about it in your studies before that. This is a possibility that can happen. And you do feel this place is very magical that you're in. It's like almost overwhelming how much magical is here.
So I assume it's because of the river or some spores of fungi in the air. Some mixture of that.
Yeah. It's just the whole mixture of this area, but you know, it affected Naysala some way. And now she's
not us, right?
Not you guys.
Why not us then?
You don't know. That part you don't know.
Okay.
You're kind of, that's like, if it should have affected all of us, even if like it just doesn't really make sense. But Naysala is, you can't wake her up right now.
She's dead.
So you know that as a fact, just from the things you've read about, like spells like this or magic like this that affect people in certain ways, is that she's either been cursed or something, but she cannot be waken up.
So guys, this place here is very potent with magic, and she's in some kind of magical slumber. We need to get out of here.
Yeah, so Gris stands up.
Gris, would you carry her?
Yeah, Gris stands up with Naysala and a princess carry.
Yep.
Like, in two arms in front.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, right, let's get out of here. Reed, go out ahead.
Reed, what were you doing? Because they were focused on Naysala.
Yes.
What were you doing?
I would be looking away. No, I would be looking around to see if I can see a way out from this place.
Yeah, so as you're looking around, you see... You scan the river and it goes into the wall to the right. You do see a wall. Like, you, that's like, you're like, okay, we're like at the beginning maybe. But the river like goes under some rocks and disappears.
Oh no.
And then you kind of scan back to the left and it's just like never ending, and kind of scan back to the right again. And there's a boat there now that wasn't there before.
Ooh.
It's a perfectly sized boat for all of you. There's no oars. It's just a little river boat. No sails or anything like that. Just big enough for all of you. And it's probably like, you guys are probably about 50 feet away from this river and where the boat is. And you can tell the river's running and it's not tied to anything and it's not floating down the river. It's just like,
oh, I like this place,
you
man.
Guys. Almost.
I am not going in that boat.
Well, we need to, but whatever you guys do, I don't think we should touch the water. I don't know how that might react with us. I also don't know why Naysala has fainted and not us, but it's got clearly got something to do with this place. And
I'll throw a septum in the water.
Nothing happens.
Reed, go drink the water.
I am not touching it.
It looks like it sinks and goes to the bottom, but you can't really tell where the bottom is. Like it sinks down, right?
Yep.
And it stops, like it hit the bottom, but it doesn't look like there's a bottom.
Okay.
Let us get... And there's no like other way or direction that we could go.
So like I'll kind of try to do a better job.
This is all in my head.
So as you guys came down the stairs, like off to the right, it kind of opened, like obviously opened up a little bit, but stopped. You can see the cave wall and it kind of has this big, long arch, like huge, like 1,000 feet long arch, right? Just again, this place is unlike, you can't describe how big this place is. It's crazy. A dragon, a full-size dragon would look small in here, to put it in perspective. And it just, and you look left down the river and it just goes and goes. And until your eyes literally can't see any farther, and it just goes. And it's probably, it varies from how wide it is, like the total place, anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 feet wide, like insanely big.
Well, I don't think it would make much sense to wander around the cave for much longer. This river clearly is of some importance and it must lead somewhere. And this boat wasn't here a few seconds ago, so I think we should follow it.
I am not touching that boat.
What do you plan on doing?
I have a book.
What?
I have a book and I'm planning on reading that now.
You want to sit here in the cave and read? Read?
Fuck you.
Fucking, that was the dumbest shit I've heard in a long time.
Here, I found this book in a goddamn fucking sarcophagus up there.
And what does it say?
I hand him the book.
I read it.
So this is the journal of the king of the first era, old times. He was the king of Skingrad. It wasn't called Skingrad back then. It doesn't, though, the word they call it, you can't really comprehend. Like, it's a weird name, and I don't have a name for it, so I'm sorry. But
it's okay.
It's in a language you've never seen before, but you can tell that's the name of the, because it keeps getting referenced. And with the contents of the rest, like everything around that word, you put together that that was Skingrad, but it wasn't called Skingrad back in the day.
Well, I know Nordic, but not ancient Nordic. So.
Yes, and it would be like ancient Nordic too.
Yes, I see.
So it talks about a time of dragons and magic that ran just so, like, almost, it kind of is describing the magic that you would feel here, but in the whole world. Just a different time. And it talks about the building of Skingrad and the city and dragon attacks and all this different stuff. And you're like really, really getting into this. And then it brings up, you're flipping through it. You don't read everything, but that's kind of like the gist you're getting from it. What is it? It was just this king's journal. And then you get towards the back and you can tell that he's getting old. And it goes into describing of, in my old days, I watched my grandchildren, grow up, and it was a time of peace because of this long battle and war that him and a fellow other kings and queens were fighting. And now for the last 20 years, it's been peace, and it's coming up to the second era and dragons disappeared and all this stuff, like weird stuff started to happen. And he describes this magical place he's found. A magical place that is beyond describing. Words have no describing of how big, and a river that is the most beautiful color of water and all this stuff. And he also starts to go into making a tomb, the tomb you guys came from. He was the one that made that tomb. And he said he wanted to be buried there because he believed this river to be a magical, holy place, and kind of going into that kind of thing. And that's really about it.
Man, this place is more interesting than I could have imagined. I give it back to you. That's a good book that you found there.
Gris is at this point is already like 5 feet away from the boat.
So as you get to the boat, you can now see like the inside, the seats that typically you would expect to be just wood planks. They are wood planks, but they have very nice red velvet seats. And like almost a perfect at the front of a boat, there's blankets, like a bunch of blankets and pillows that are arranged perfectly to like lay Nasala in. Down in.
Gris steps onto the boat. Does it wobble like it would on water?
No. It's perfectly steady. You don't lose your footing whatsoever.
I would like to take a few samples of the fungi that are nearby.
Yeah, there's a couple rocks right by the boat, and there's some glowing mushrooms and stuff, and yeah, you
try to harvest some of those, put it in a little bag.
Give me I don't need a roll.
Okay,
I would like to pull out my Alchemist for Beginners book and see if I can find anything about these mushrooms in the book.
Okay, real fast, can you guys turn yourselves up and
yes,
what
and, maybe give me a sec
and no, zoom. You can't turn yourself up in Zoom
here. Actually, I know how to, I can do this. Hold on,
I can also do it.
You mean are we too silent?
No, I just turned my mixer up. That should do it.
Oh, okay.
How's this for you guys?
How's this? Is it better?
Yeah. You guys are okay. Good for me. I think I had my volume too low. Yeah, you should be able to be here just clearly now. Okay. Let me see. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yep. Okay, we're good. Okay,
So Gris obviously lays Nasala down in this bundle at the front of the boat. And he sees his friends doing science experiments.
I'm not doing a science experiment. I'm just looking in a book, okay?
Well, I'm doing a science experiment.
Like, I thought you said you pulled out like an alchemy kit. I see like an alchemy kit for beginners.
It's a book for beginners.
Yes, it's a book called Alchemy for Beginners.
Oh my God. So one person's reading, the other person is looking at fungus. Gris just looks over and he's like, guys, I think there's more important things to do than what you're doing right now.
Yes. Just really quick. Do I succeed in harvesting?
I see it like this. In total, like, anime fashion, you have Felvindar, like, crouched down, like, trying to be, like, really careful with, like, a mushroom, like, shaking, trying to put it in, like, a little bag. And then you have Reed kneeled down right next to him, like, with a book open and his book, like, right in his face. And he's just like, okay. But Reed, you see that you kind of get the sense that these are like very similar to glowing mushrooms, and the fungus on the rock that you see, you don't really get anything. Like, the book talks about different types of moss and stuff like that, but nothing that should be glowing.
Okay, so I don't touch it.
Do I succeed in taking a few samples of it?
Yeah, you do.
Like clipping them on the bottom and putting them in the bag.
Yes, and they do remain to glow.
When they are cut.
Yes. And like when you put it into, because obviously there's no such thing as plastic bags. So I'm going to say you have
Linen sack.
Yeah, you have some like linen sacks. Or like, and for like fluids, you would have some like glass, like
vials
with like a cork in the top. Yeah. So if you wanted to do anything like that, do you want to take some moss with you as well?
Yeah, sure. Why not? When I'm at it.
Okay. As you put this stuff in the bag and like look down in it, the whole inside of the bag starts to glow the similar color, but the outside remains. So.
All right. Okay, Reed. So I think we should get going now. Nisala's not feeling good.
I am not touching that boat.
Reed, what else should we do now?
Go up and go through the goddamn, entrance.
Entrance?
Yes, the way we saw the goddamn fucking roof. The hole in the roof.
I think we've come way far, too far down with that, and I don't think Nacella's waking up any soon. This is our fastest way out, I think.
Don't you see? This is obvious a fucking trap. The boat was not here when we got here. We look around, and the boat suddenly appears for not enough room for four people. One for laying down, and for three sitting up. Don't you see? This is obviously something, like, not supposed to be here.
It is a very potent place. You are right on that, but I think it's too late for returning. We need to see where this goes.
Why do I even follow you guys?
Because we've known each other for a very long time.
I said, I walk into the boat and said,
I'll put my hand on your shoulder. We will make it out of here.
If not, I'm killing you first.
All right, so you all step onto this boat that just has happened to appear, that has very nice felt seats, and you step on it, and you both realize also that it doesn't rock like a boat should rock when you step into it.
So it's not bobbing or stable. Anything.
Nope, perfectly stable. You mm-hmm. could do a handstand on this boat, and it would be the best place to do a handstand. Like it doesn't does a handstand. Rock or anything.
With armor.
With armor. Chris doesn't have that.
Okay, roll me an acrobatics check.
Oh, no, don't fall in the water, please.
Acrobatics or athletics?
Acrobatics. This is definitely acrobatics.
This is dexterity, yeah.
I'm looking at I think I don't see any.
It's right
at the top.
Athletics.
It's at the top. It.
Oh, it's at the top.
Yeah. There you go, 16.
you get up into a handstand, but you've never really done one before, and you kind of just fall over in the boat. You don't fall outside the boat.
What the fuck are you doing, Chris?
The boat doesn't rock when you fall over in it.
Yeah, that's not normal. That's not normal. No, I'm out.
Read. I'll pack grab his shoulder and try
and
to keep
him. The boat starts to float down the river.
Oh, fuck my life.
It kind of moves out into the middle of the river. Now, this river is probably about, I'd say only about 20 foot wide. So it's not like a huge river, but it's big enough. And it floats like perfectly out to the middle.
Could I, once again, pull off my staff and look at the knowledge of it? Is there any response in this very potent place I get from it?
So you pull your staff out and you put your thumb right under the symbol that glows, or the symbols that glow knowledge. And you don't get a vision this time, but you hear a bunch of voices. It's hard to make out what they're saying. I guess it's
pretty overwhelming with this place being
like,
so strong.
You like do it for a couple seconds and have to move your thumb away because you're like, whoa, that was like, it was like 1,000 voices. There was laughter, screaming, everything you could imagine. Way too much for you to handle. And so like you have to pull your thumb away. So you guys are going down this river, and it's kind of nice. Like you're in a place that is, it almost feels unworldly. Everything's glowing a pretty purplish, bluish green color. The river has just such a nice shimmer to it, even though there's no sun or anything like that. And you guys are going at just the perfect amount of speed. Everything is perfect.
Hey, Vilvendal, why don't you try and bowl some of this water so you can inspect it later?
Yeah, I had the same idea.
I want
to use telekinesis to grab I don't know, a gallon of water off it or something, just a bit to fill it in a glass vial that I have.
I would say a gallon would be way too much for the vials. Fill up like two vials, which would be like like 12 ounces or so. Like enough, like think of like a beer can, like that much fluid is how much you have in like two or three vials. Yeah. So as you do that and you do remove the water, like it, you're looking at it through the vial, it's, it kind of has the same effect that the mushrooms and the moss that you picked up. It's just glowing and it is beautiful, and it looks like it's swirling, like it's trying to return back to the river. It's like swirling downwards, like any way you move it, like let's say you moved it to the left, it would swirl a little more to the right, trying to go back into the river. But it doesn't break the vials or anything.
Okay, good.
I don't like this. So, I don't like this.
Drink it.
Some time you drink goes it. By.
I will not drink it.
You want to drink it?
I will not drink it.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just keep it for later study.
Who knows? It could turn you into a god or something. I don't know.
Can I make a perception check to see if it looks tasty?
It looks like the most clean, pure water you've ever seen in your life. You don't even need a perception check for that. But
I am kind of
actually
thirsty.
Give me a perception check for something else, though, since you're like looking down into the water.
17.
You think you see something swimming, and it, you think your eyes deceive you, but it looked like a fucking mermaid.
Oh my god.
Wait, so Gris sees it.
You see like long, beautiful blonde, well, it would look kind of bluish, but you would like light colored hair and a big fin, and then it like you see it disappear really quickly.
Gris stands up sharply.
Boat doesn't rock. Stays perfectly normal.
And just stays silent, looking into the water.
You see it again. This time you see it like you definitely were like, that's a fucking mermaid, because you see the full body and like she like rotates and smiles at you and then does like another rotation and then disappears into the water.
What is it? What do you see?
I'm going to take a leak.
I don't know how to explain it.
Reed will stand up and start pissing over the boat.
Okay.
Reed, you do not. This is a magical place.
I have to pee!
Can you use telekinesis and hold the pee?
No, I do not use my magic for something like this. You do not pee in this river.
If you do that, you do that, and nothing really happens. I mean...
God.
So... not quite sure, I believe, what's going on with my eyes right now. Can I make another perception check to see if I can see it anymore?
Yes, you can.
17.
Wow, you just rolled 2 17s in a row. That's crazy.
I know.
Yes. Yes, you do. And this time when you see it again, when you see her, you think it was different hair color. Now you're like, oh shit, is there two? And like the scales of her tail were different color too. Like the first one was like a pinkish and a blue. And this one's like a green and a purple.
Chris, what is it? You look so nervous.
This may have been a bad judgment call on our part.
Like I told you guys.
What do you mean?
And
there's fucking mermaids in the water, dude.
When you say mermaids, Grace, you also hear.
Yeah.
Come please swim. Don't.
Come swim. Please come swim.
Philbundar casts courage on both of you. And... like,
I don't need your goddamn filthy magic.
Guys, we need... I don't know what is in this water, but we need to stay calm for now.
We need to get to land as Gris pulls out his sword.
Well, do you see any oars?
Any what?
Oars to no, rowing the not. Boat.
No, you do not.
Gris plunges his sword into the wall and tries to use it as an oar.
Yeah, you try that. You're trying that, and the boat's not even like it's staying right in the middle. And you actually roll me a strength saving throw.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Oh no!
Hold you. Hold on.
I have two. I have two swords, so it's okay, guys. If I drop it.
You feel something. Wow, that's funny. I rolled a 9.
Oh my god! So I say what?
You feel. You definitely feel one of these mermaids grab a hold of that sword and is trying to pull it in to the water, but it unsuccessfully. You like rip it out of it, the mermaid's hands. You can't see the mermaid doing this though. It was done underwater.
It just feels like there's resistance.
You definitely felt somebody grabbing onto your sword and trying to rip it out of your hands.
Stop this! Do not touch it. We need to follow it. We need to follow the flow.
I'm the only one that hears this voice.
Yes.
It's just the only one that hears this voice, yeah?
Yes.
Remember, you have courage.
Yeah, you're not frightened by the voice. Unless you want to roleplay it like you're frightened, but I'm not like saying that it's trying to frighten
Gris you. Gris is really uncomfortable.
Okay. That's totally up to you, though.
He's just really uneasy about it. He's not scared of it. He's just like... Because it's unknown. He doesn't know where it's coming from. He knows what it is down there, and it's probably coming from down there. But he's getting flashbacks to the Halloween cave. And he's like, he's not feeling too good about this situation. So he's like, guys,
can I make
we need to leave this place.
Why do you think I suggested not to go into the boat?
There is no way we can make this boat any faster. We would just need to remain here.
Is it even moving?
And keep our cool.
Reed, I'm sorry for every single thing I've ever said to you. I really feel like we shouldn't have come down here.
Well, you're the guys that said that you found a way, so... And I told you guys not to go on this goddamn forsaken boat.
You said it for the 5th time or something. I heard you.
Will the group ever listen to Reed when he's telling them not to go do something? I don't know. Will they die from mermaids and be forever lost in this magical river?
Yes.
I don't know. But I guess we'll have to find out next time on the next episode of DDS. Thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Why do I always have to get a sense from you guys?